Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I am one of your hosts, DJ.
What is my name?
Dang it, what comes next?
It's DJ. Culp?
DJ Culp. As always, here with my beloved brother-in-law. Card.
What's his name again?
Where are the cards? Yeah. Brad Coleman. Brad. Yes, Brad. Oh, that's awesome. So it is summertime, Brad.
Yep.
You doing okay, man?
Yeah, I played for the kids. School's out for the summer.
Oh, yes.
I try to do that every year. I think I've done it every year.
Dude, what a great song. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Bravo. I tip my hat to you, sir.
Yeah. Even better is Isaiah was in the shower, and we have a Google Home, and so he was listening to music, so I switched it over to School's Out for the Summer.
Yeah, yes.
You will listen.
Awesome. That's so awesome. So listeners, Brad and I have actually been visiting for about 15 minutes. And just to kind of give you guys a bit of an update, a proud dad moment here. My wife and I took our kids to Nashville just for a quick overnighter. We swam for like an hour and a half in the pool. Dude had the pool to ourselves. It was rocking.
It was nice.
So nice. Yeah. and then... earlier today, our middle child, Addie, who is five and has just finished preschool and will be going into kindergarten, today marks a big day in Addie's life. She got her ears pierced. And today also marks a very large day in our son's life because he got his very first guinea pig. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going on the front end of the summer here in the Culp household, Brad.
And for Zoe, it was just another day.
And for Zoe, it was another day. And what's funny is that whenever Shara told her parents that, apparently this is a joke that I wasn't aware of until this happened, but her dad sent a text saying, "So what did Zoe get?" And Shara sent a trip to Nashville.
That's right.
If you're new to the show, Zoe, our youngest, is three. She has no idea. She has no earthly idea what's going on. Well, Brad, here at the top of the show, we're going to do a few memes for you. So listeners, it's commonplace for us, to do a memes with Brad bit. So if you're new to the show, this is where I throw up a meme, that Brad has to read right there on the spot, doesn't know what it is, and create a sermon illustration off of it. So, let me navigate there here real quick, Brad. All right, and I'm going to share my screen like this. And off we go.
DJ Culp Jr. has started sharing. Double click. Oh, there we are. All right. The chocolate cake with a big slice taken out of it. I would eat healthy, but then I remember the time Eve ate an apple and doomed all of humanity. So I don't know better, not risk it. So, and again, I've mentioned this on the show before, even though sometimes I get caught up in it. Wasn't an apple, was not an apple. That was a Renaissance painter thing. They needed to paint something, they came up with an apple. Why, I don't know. I guess they thought apples were very, they looked very tempting. But anyway, the fruit, want to eat healthy, but then I remember the time I ate an apple and doomed all humanity. So I don't know, better not risk it. First, I think of the scripture where it says bodily exercise profits little, but godliness profits to all things. And I think I've mentioned this before. That like it's like God's like God's like I, that's not me telling you not to exercise and you don't need to exercise.
it
I think of the verse in the Old Testament, I know it's Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, where it says the wicked run when no one's chasing them, and that's kind of I would run, but the Bible
gentlemen.
says so. I think I again I'd probably push this to context is important. So
Well, it almost sounds, Brad, like you're saying that
how easily, right, that we can take those verses out of context
is true. Right, yeah,
and kind of turn them to our own.
sure.
I don't want to run, so I'm gonna use this. I don't want to eat
That's
healthy, so I'm gonna make this excuse. And how that, that doesn't hold water to what the scripture is
That's
actually saying. Well, God said, don't worry about what you eat. So,
That's exactly. Yeah, just throw
means
caution to the wind. It
I
doesn't
can eat all the chocolate cake
matter.
that I want. It doesn't matter. I'm a diabetic.
That's
Jesus told me not to worry about it. That's not what Jesus was saying. So,
Oh, well, I
yeah.
like it. I like it. Oh, this is Brett, I've missed you, man.
Yeah.
All right, Brad, here we go. Next one.
Oh, okay. I was like, yeah, make it bigger. This is good. Guy at a car dealership. And he goes, cargo space? And the dealer goes, car no do that. Cargo road. That's a good one. I love this meme. So, wow, you made me laugh, and now my brain's like, oh, what would I do with this? I already did the context thing.
Yeah, you
I mean,
did.
I probably cheat a little bit and go where Peter goes, you know what Paul says? And sometimes the things that Paul say are difficult to understand.
That's right.
But we can't twist his, we can't twist the scripture and the words like some of those people do who are destined to darkness and destruction.
That's
It's
right.
like, and I love it. I love that Peter commentates on Paul's words in scripture. Peter goes, it's like Paul says, and I know that sometimes the things Paul say, they're hard to understand.
Tough. Yeah.
But we need to make sure that we understand them properly. This car
Right.
ain't going to space, man.
That's cargo space. Cargo to do that.
Yeah.
Cargo road. All right, Brad. Nice, man. Here we go. Next one.
A man asked his wife, "What would you do if I won the lottery?" She replied, "I'd take half and then leave you." Great, he said. I won $12 yesterday. Here's six. Stay in touch. Oh, that's horrible.
So bad.
I would probably go with the things that Satan tempts us with and kind of the idea that we get of that promise. Is, I'm going to get this and it's going to give me peace and happiness and joy. And the reality of sin's pleasure always has a very big evil catch. Right? The Bible warns us that there's pleasure in sin for a season. So you're going to get more negative than you anticipated when you start trying to make deals like that. So,
Yeah, right.
this couple needs marriage counseling also.
Yes,
Maybe
that's
go
it's
off of
it sounds like
that.
it sounds red like they've needed marriage counseling.
Yeah,
Like this isn't square one. Like I would be
he
willing to say
Bible
that.
says he who finds he who finds a wife finds a good thing.
I'd be willing to say that at this point, the straw has already broken the camel's back. He's just trying to find a way to talk about it, you know?
So this may be a good actually marriage counseling meme to share in a marriage counseling situation.
Let's make sure this doesn't happen.
Oh, they weren't laughing. Oh, they didn't laugh. Okay, that's where we are then.
That's where
Okay.
we are. Oh,
You didn't
no.
find you
Yeah,
didn't find
that.
that one
Yeah,
funny.
right. I was joking. This was a joke. What a
You
that
would
bit,
do that.
dude, that would be such a twisted way for a psychiatrist to get a bead on his clients. All right, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna bait them. Depending on their reaction, will give me a good idea as to where they're at.
Well, and you only show the first part, right? So if Bill won the lottery,
What would you do?
what would you do? All right, now the surprise twist is it was $12.
It was $12. That's right. All right, Brad, one more. Here we go.
Right, it's a menacing-looking raccoon, like wringing its hands, and it says, "They say one friend out of every group has the potential to be a serial killer, so I threw Dave off a cliff just in case it was him."
This is one of my favorites of all
Don't think
time,
it was
Brad.
Dave.
I don't think it
I would
was.
probably go on here and look at kind of the overzealous people with justice and those things, and look at like the Phariseeism that sneaks up in people, and like the people that tend to be Pharisaical, I think don't realize it. They just think they're being righteous when they're being like over legalistic and judgmental and all of that stuff. Like it's like, hey, I did the right thing by nailing this person to, the
To the
cross.
cross.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were, I mean, they were sinning. So we just, where was the grace and love in that?
And so I didn't I Brad, I swear I did not plan this. This is I swear this is God moving. The like listeners, our topic today is grace versus justice. And I would say, Brad, like, this even would kind of be this would be a meme, that would kind of illuminate and draw out sort of the you can make it put it in a comical sense of when Jesus says to the people, like, you are, well, I'm trying to I'll paraphrase, you're arguing or you're complaining about a log in your brother's eye, or
Oh,
sorry, a speck in your brother's eye, but you've got a log in yours.
yeah, boom. Look at there.
And so, so Brad, well done. That was great. Gosh, I have missed doing that with you. But let me give you, Brad, just kind of the glimpse as to where I was or have been with getting the idea of a show for grace versus justice. I have this written in the margin of one of our church bulletins that just simply says, "Do I give grace?" And that was not a commentary. It wasn't a comment. It wasn't like the main point or a concept. but grace was being talked about. That was the center idea of the message. And I caught myself just asking myself rhetorically, do I give grace? And so one of the things, Brad, I'd really like to talk about is just grace versus justice. Mercy, what would be the opposite of mercy? Mercy versus judgment, I guess.
Yeah, and I think maybe I've mentioned this before, because I certainly have used it a lot, even as a youth pastor or as a senior pastor. Like, when I define justice, mercy, and grace, which, by the way, are all important things, so we're not trying to get rid of any one of them, because they're all necessary. Justice, I define simply as when I get what I deserve.
Yeah.
Right? So, okay. Bible says the wages of sin is death. And again, ultimately, we're talking about eternal death. We're talking about hell.
Right.
You know, so justice, when I get what I deserve. Mercy is when I don't get what I deserve. Right. So I'm not getting that punishment that I deserve. That's mercy.
Right.
And grace is when I get what I don't deserve. Right. Again, the riches of heaven,
okay.
Joint
yeah.
heir.
Right? All right.
So mercy is when I don't get justice. And grace is when it's not quite the opposite of justice, but yeah,
yeah.
But for lack of a better term, the opposite of justice, like, oh, this is what you deserve.
So is it safe? And I don't mean to throw a wrench into what you're saying too early here in the show, but would you argue then, I guess more of like on a philosophical level, that it is an injustice? That grace would be an injustice.
Oh man, I think we feel that way. I mean, it's definitely like almost like when we look at the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. I've said before, it's kind of scandalous. In a sense, because I deserve the cross, and Jesus, who doesn't deserve the cross, takes the cross.
Right.
Now, he does so willingly. I think that kind of takes the scandal out of it. Like he is the scapegoat, but he's willingly the scapegoat.
He's willingly. Right? Yeah.
Like he's taking my place. He's volunteering. So it's not fair. Right? It's not fair that I should get it, his grace and mercy. Right. And he takes the justice.
Yeah, let this cup pass
fair.
From me. Sure.
But again, I think but we have to see in the gospel that we can't throw away justice, right? Because God doesn't. God tells us to seek justice, but to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God.
Yeah, yes. Right? Well, and to that point, Hosea is one of my favorite references in Hosea. It says that our Lord does not seek, or our Lord seeks mercy over sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right. So you follow the letter of the law and don't give mercy. He doesn't care about, like at that point in time, he doesn't care about you following as what you were saying, you know, like with the raccoon meme, the pharisaical nature of, like, you can call it legalism. You can call it just checking the boxes, whatever the case is, any flavor of any of that. But like at that point in time from Hosea, that one reference, it tells me that the boxes that are being checked are not God's central desire for us. It's mercy. He desires mercy. He desires for us to grant mercy.
Yeah. Well, and I think about this, here's a good Pharisee test, right?
Okay.
When Jesus tells them, like, he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Are you ready to stone the Pharisees for what they were doing?
Right.
You know. Because
now we have an infinite regression of, are you willing to stone the people who are stoning the Pharisees?
That's
are
right.
You willing,
you know? but again, we how often do we see that, right? Oh man, this person is that they deserve it. I mean, I watch those shows too, and I go, oh yeah, they better get theirs in the end.
I know, dude.
Like we have that sense of justice.
But yeah, again, we do.
Justice is, God is just.
Right.
It's a characteristic of God. The thing is, justice for us to God is It's death. It's wrath. It's to accept those things because we have all fallen short of his glory, of his standard, of all that. So I think the cross is proof that justice is important to God, because Jesus takes that penalty so that we can have grace and mercy. And so God can still be just. And again, we're not trying to jump too far into that hoop right now and have that study. But I definitely would consider myself a mercy and grace person, right? And I prefer mercy and grace, that my personality is to give mercy. Your sister's even argued with me that it's one of my spiritual gifts. She's like, mercy is one of your spiritual gifts. She's more of justice. And we need
Yes, she
both.
is.
We need
Yeah,
both.
she is absolutely more justice.
I mean, too much mercy and grace is enabling. Too much justice is just, I don't know what the word is,
I
just,
mean, I would argue it's disabling. It's
yeah, it is. It's just, it's crushing, I think is the word.
crushing. And I remember this was years ago. When I was attempting a Bible through the Bible in a year, and I do believe I was in Numbers or Levit no, 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 excuse me, it was Leviticus. And I was moving from Leviticus into Deuteronomy, and I caught myself thinking, "Holy crap, I'm still reading rules." It dawned on me that I was still reading like caveat after caveat after caveat. And when it kind of hit me that that's where I was in the middle of this reading, I just kind of gotten lost in the verbiage and was just, reading it as a historical document. Not to say that I wasn't getting anything spiritual out of it, but I mean, law after law after law after law and so on and so forth, I mean, can kind of get dry. But what I began to realize was, oh my gosh, like this is absolutely impossible. And I'm not just talking about, following the law to the letter, but as you mentioned, the justice that should actually be imputed upon every breaking of any of those, it's crushing. You're exactly right. It's a great word for it. It is absolutely crushing. It should make us stand and go, there's no point. There's literally no point to this because
I can't, I
I
can't,
can't.
right? Which is why, again, the cross is so astronomically important, cosmically important, because you're right, we can't, and we could not get back to God. We could not be righteous in God's sight without the cross, without Jesus being righteous and then taking the penalty. I love grace. I love mercy. And I think the more that we as people realize how much grace and mercy that one that we need and that God is willing to bestow on us, I think the more gracious and merciful it makes us. I think that's one of the reasons that I am as merciful as I am, because I make a lot of mistakes. Like I pull out in front of people on accident. I'm not, I mean, they don't know it. They're probably like saying some bad things about me, which I'm like, you know what? I get upset when people pull out in front of me,
Yeah, that's right.
but sometimes like I misjudge the space or whatever, and I don't realize it until afterwards, and then it's like, I mess up, right? I mess up and don't show up for an appointment, or I show up late. Like again, like as we were talking, as I overslept, I took a nap, overslept, 15 minutes late for 20 minutes late for Bible study, and when you're the guy who's supposed to be leading the Bible study. I'm very thankful for the people at church who were at the Bible study who were more concerned for my well-being, that something might be wrong than they know about, than they were concerned that I was late. And I felt that. And it's I felt that grace, when I got there, humbly and ashamed. Most of us don't want to walk in and be like, oh, well, you know what? I overslept. I was taking a nap, and that's why I wasn't here to do the thing that I'm responsible to be doing. And
Right.
it's, but again, I felt the love for them. I felt the concern. Again, it's some lighthearted ribbing a little bit,
Yeah.
which I appreciate. And but again, there's glad that we're okay. An associate pastor had texted me and tried to call me. I think it's what woke me up. Apparently my alarm didn't. And then texted me, "Hey, do you need me to lead Bible study? I can lead if you need me to."
Right.
And when I got there, they were just going over prayer requests, and they just continued. And but instead of feeling more of the shame, which I was feeling, I just felt their love
Yeah.
and that grace and that reflection of Christ of, okay, hey, we're glad you're okay.
Yeah.
They're more concerned that something, had happened or something. And so, but I love that. And I
Well,
think.
Brad, when you say that, like you and Tabitha, and listeners, for those of you that are that know, that are familiar with the show, you'll know that Brad and Tabitha, in terms of male female personalities, are the exact opposite of me and Shara. Would you say that, because you said that you're the grace and mercy, Tabitha's the something and justice. What was the other thing that you said?
Wrath.
Wrath. Yeah. Justice and wrath. Yeah, that's absolutely me. But my question is so grace and mercy, is that your default setting? And the reason I'm asking that question is something I'd like to kind of tease out for our listeners. And I mean me as well, but for the people that are more like me that don't have grace as a natural default setting. When you talk about grace and mercy as it's just something that you do because you make a lot of mistakes, how would you encourage people to work on that if in fact it isn't where they run to first?
Well, and I think with the scripture that you brought out, right, where the splinter in your brother's eye versus the beam that's in your own, I think it's being like David and going to God, especially in those times more frustrated with other people, and asking him to reveal that beam. Right? I've told people one of the fastest ways, in my opinion, to forgive people is just to go rant to God about them. Go tell God exactly. And I think sometimes that people don't do this in their prayer because they're like, I can't do that. Well, you're missing out. Go talk to your heavenly Father about that. And if you know you're being unjust, well, that's going to come out.
That's going to come
You
out.
know, you know. But I will tell you what, in my experience, God does in those moments, because I get mad at people too, and I get really upset, and I'm heated and losing my head, and I can't believe that. And, so it's not to say that I don't have that side. That's just usually mercy and grace is the bigger side of me. But when I really get angry and I go talk to God about it, and I go, like, I can't believe, and that's what I'm thinking, like, I can't believe that they did that. I can't think they would say that, God. Like, I'm so angry about that. And like the Holy Spirit will remind me of something I did 2 weeks ago. They're like, remember 2 weeks ago when you said this? And my first inclination was that's different. Right? Because we're really good at justifying ourselves. Really good at justifying ourselves by our intentions and judging others by their actions. But we're really good at even justifying our intentions, even if they're not good. But I don't know how many times I've been like, well, that's different. And I felt like the Holy Spirit goes, well, not the heart of it. Yeah, the action was different. And maybe even in an earthly sense, the other thing was bigger. But God's calling out, but that's the same heart. Hey, that splinter, it's the same wood that's in your eye. And so I think that's where you go. It's like when you go to God and you go, hey, I'm really mad. And God doesn't go, oh, well, hey, they weren't wrong if they were. But I think mercy shows you that sometimes you're just as wrong as they were. And maybe you're a lot easier at forgiving yourself, right? Or justifying yourself. Well, I mean, they made me mad, and that's
Yeah,
why I
right.
reacted
Yeah.
that way.
And I would say that in the moments of, but I don't want to retreat to God first because I'm heated and I feel like I have righteous indignation here, right?
Which again, like if we have righteous indignation and we don't want to retreat to God, what does that tell us?
Right. Yeah.
It's not righteous,
It's not righteous.
right?
Dude, that's legit, man.
Because
Yeah.
righteousness likes to be in the presence of God. Unrighteousness hates being in the presence of God.
So, unrighteous indignation, prideful indignation, sure, self-centered indignation. Yeah.
Right. Because God's gonna, I think we know, like, even we may not even cognitively be thinking that, but we know if I go to God, he's gonna make
That's
me
right.
forgive them.
Stupid Gar. If I go to
Yeah.
God,
Yeah. If I
he's
go
gonna
to God,
remind
he's
me,
gonna,
Brad hadn't caught a thing, man.
yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's so for me, it's that going to God, search me and know me, you know, and I think God will show us those things in ourselves. Now that doesn't justify, right? If our sin doesn't justify other people's sin, but what it does is remind us that we both need salvation through Jesus Christ. We both need that forgiveness, right? And I mean, God's pretty serious, and I think sometimes we skip over this because we don't like it. But Jesus says very plainly, those who have shown no mercy will not receive mercy. I mean, that's pretty, like that's huge.
That's a blanket statement. Like that's I've said it before, Brad, on the show, I know, but that to me is, I call it an absolute truth. Like that's something that regardless of the situation, there is no out of context, right? That is one of that it's like a John 4:16 or 14:6, excuse me, like I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no caveat that cancels or negates that. So yeah, you're exactly right. That is an absolute truth that stands on its own 2 feet no matter how you spin it.
And we certainly don't like it when we're mad at somebody else
Right.
or when they need mercy. But grace is different. See, grace is a step farther.
Okay.
Mercy is when we say, I forgive you. Right? That's mercy. I don't hold this to your charge anymore.
Right.
I'm no longer going to hold it against you. That's mercy. Grace is a whole new ball game. Like, so here's the illustration that I heard and I really like. If one of my kids breaks our rules, right, and they get grounded, that's justice, right? You've broken the rule. Now, if I unground them, which again, I typically don't recommend that you just go unground your kids. You need to stick with what you say.
Right.
But let's just say that one of my kids has done something and I can see that they're truly repentant of it, right? That if they could go back, not just because of the punishment, but if they could go back, that they would undo it. They wouldn't do it again, right? And I show them mercy. I go, okay, I know I grounded you for a week, but you're here. It's been 3 days. You're ungrounded. Now, again, not because of I thought the punishment was too harsh, not because I'm not sticking with my word, because generally I'm telling you, you need to do what you say. But because that I can see that you're repentant, I can see that all right, I'm going to show you mercy. That's mercy. You're no longer grounded.
Right.
Grace is if I take them out for ice cream.
Right.
Let's go get ice cream. Not only are you not getting what you deserve, but I'm giving you what you don't deserve.
Yeah.
You're getting this ice cream, not because you did good. You're getting this ice cream because I love you, and
Yeah.
I want ice cream. I'll take you along. You know,
Well,
that's grace. So.
the thought that popped in my mind, and it actually harkens back to something that you said about you were kind of in the middle of a thought with
In the middle of a thought a lot.
yeah, it's true, but where you were talking about the beam in your eye and grace and forgiveness. And basically what I gleaned from it right there in that moment was, our attitude towards said person is going to completely change. So when you said, mercy is saying, I forgive you, grace is going a step further in the same, biblical text. To me, grace and mercy would be, I have a beam in my eye. You have a splinter. You're the one who put the beam in my eye. I'm going to tell you, I forgive you. That's mercy. I go take the beam out of my eye and then help you take the splinter out of yours. That would be grace.
The only problem with that is
No,
beams don't come off splinters. Splinters do come off beams.
that's true.
So, like, I don't like the person with, I think in the example is we're looking at the splinter in the other
That's
eye. My
fair.
dad would say, and he'd use it too before. He said, sometimes we got to realize that the splinter in our brother's eye came off the two before in our own.
Came out two before on her own.
And I think that's more of the heart of what Jesus is saying is like you see
Got
this small thing in their eye,
it.
while you've got a big thing in your own. But yeah, but I think it's when you look at the gospel, right? And you look at what Christ has done for us and what Christ teaches, right? He says, do good to those who do bad to you. Right? I mean, that's a pretty recurring thing. And that's the gospel, right? We didn't do good to God. We brought God bad
Right.
when he gave us good. And then he's going to give us good instead of the bad. But that's counter to our mind, right? Mercy is, it's almost like, well, wasn't mercy big enough, God? Because God doesn't say, just don't do bad to those who do bad to you.
Right.
Because that's mercy when you don't do bad to them, right? I'm
Yeah.
not, you know,
When you don't retaliate, yeah.
yeah. But God goes, give them grace. Take them out for ice cream. But God, did you not see what they did?
Romans 5:8.
Gosh.
Right? Romans
Yeah,
5:8.
I think there's probably some people I need to take out for ice cream.
Yeah.
Gonna
Yeah.
have to wrestle with that. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
I
and
love it and hate it when God hits me like that.
yeah. For the listeners that are unaware, maybe you don't know the scripture reference right offhand. It's just one of the scripture verses that I cited a while ago. This is probably one that I personally need to memorize. But Romans 5:8 just simply says, for God demonstrated his great love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that right there, I mean, while we were walking around with 2x4s in our eyes, whether we knew they were there or not, Christ died for us. But yeah, so let's turn the conversation a bit to I want to kind of prime the pump, Brad, with a multi-series show or topic, multi-series topic that I want to do in the near very near future. But it specifically does relate to men. And my question to you is regarding grace versus justice, do you feel that guys just across the board are good, are vanilla, regular, mediocre at best, or bad at providing grace in the church? Not just and I mean that could mean to each other, but just is it something that is demonstrated, demonstrative within church culture? Do guys do that well?
That's a big question.
It is.
Sometimes on some level, I think it depends person to person, because there's
Right.
definitely people that are, again, more nurtured toward grace, and others toward justice. By the way, I think we need each other. I think that's why Tabby and I are a good fit. I think that's why Sharon and you are a good fit,
Yes.
because I'm going to tend to err on grace, and sometimes that is problematic.
Yeah.
I know that's not the question you ask.
No.
I don't. I think we all struggle with godly grace and mercy, even if we're in tune to mercy and grace,
Okay.
right? So I don't know. Gosh, I don't know how to answer the question, DJ, because there's so many thoughts going through my mind. But
So,
sometimes I think we show too much grace, right? Because
okay.
child, someone molests a child in church, right? And we're like, well, we're Christians, we got to forgive them. Yes, we need to forgive them, but we also do not let them near our children
That's right.
again, ever. Like there is forgiveness and there's trust, right? And sometimes we confuse the two. So yes, we forgive them, but also in forgiving them, that doesn't mean that we don't have them go through justice in the system, right? Because I think, oh, well, let's just push it under the rug. No, we shouldn't do that either. We can forgive them and still have them go through the justice system and get justice, and we don't need to just put those things under a rug. And I think that's one of the things in the church, that sometimes we give grace and mercy in ways that we shouldn't. You know, I think that's causes people who are predators to go toward the church in some ways, act the part of a believer, and pray, because even if I get caught, you know, I'm going to find grace. And that's not the way God gives grace, right? God
That's
says
interesting.
he will not be mocked. What a man sows, he shall also reap, right? So you have to come humbly to God in repentance to receive his mercy and his grace, right? So I've had people too be upset when I wouldn't help them in some way that they wanted. And one of the first things that those people tend to do is lash out that I'm being unchristian and I'm being unbiblical and all this stuff. You have to help me. Like, we're not reading the same book. That's not what it says. I am to be gracious and merciful, but I'm not supposed to be gracious and merciful if you are continuing to be, you know, like if you're coming in and attacking. And attacking, and you're thinking that I can't stand against you because I have to be gracious and merciful, then you misunderstand mercy and grace. Because it's my job to make sure that, you know, and I've had situations where there were people that I would, and I don't say this lightly, and I won't mention any names, were wolves. And they found out that this guy who loves grace and mercy, who would love to show them grace and mercy, had to give them justice because they were just trying to continuously prey on sheep. And as an under shepherd, like that's not how it works. So I like it's so hard, DJ, for me
It
to
is hard. No,
to give you, I don't
I
know that there
understand.
is a clear
Well,
cut, nice answer to your
I was
question.
I'm glad that you're acknowledging that the
I'm
water's muddy.
struggling with your question.
I know.
Yeah,
Well,
it is.
here's the thing. Like, I'm really glad that you're saying that it's too hard to answer, because I think it'll help us as long as we're willing to kind of, at least certainly pull on our own experiences, whether what as adults or coming up through the church or even testimonies. I know, and maybe I'm projecting here, but I have an experience where, or ex I have experiences where men are either apathetic entirely within the church. I can't speak to outside the church, no idea. But within the church, just let things play out. Who cares? Just move on. People will get over stuff. Or they pick and choose when to be gracious and merciful, as long as it is something
Yes, there
that
you go.
as long as it's something that like falls within their
Or
own purview, or someone, right?
misappropriating grace and mercy and justice.
It's like the movie The Untouchables. You ever see that with Kevin Costner? Like way back in the, I think late 80s, early 90s, there was this movie that was created where I want to say they're basically like U.S. Marshals that went after Al Capone, and they were called that like they were called the Untouchables because they did things that were above the law, but they had protection, right? They actually had governmental protection, and so to me, I would be willing to say that with when you say you could do this or that with said person, it's because this is a stalwart human being in our church's charter. Okay,
Right,
fine,
right.
but like,
So they deserve more
no,
grace and
they
mercy,
don't. No,
right? No, they
absolutely, they
don't. But
don't.
I mean,
Yes,
that's the
right. Yeah,
heart,
no,
like
I'm with you. Yeah,
versus the 16-year-old that got pregnant, and now we're gonna crucify her.
right. Yeah. That's when excommunications come in. Right.
Because I'm gonna be like honest, like I think that the church. All right, here's this young girl, and I think there's a baby. And we're saying that the baby is important to us too, and then we ought to act like it.
Right.
That it is a gift from God, even if the situation, the scenario was not right, even though it came out of sin. But hey, we're not going to ostracize her. We're going to, yes, there is repentance that should be done on her part,
Right.
but we're not repenting for the baby, and we're celebrating the baby. I think we ought to do more baby showers for unwed mothers, 100%.
Yeah. I love that idea, dude. Because you're
we need
exactly
to
right.
love them and show grace.
That absolutely falls into the grace versus justice category. Now, before I think it'd be really easy for the conversation to get really convoluted, because as you mentioned, because of all of the moving variables that are really unmentionable, it's almost like at the theoretical, hypothetical and theoretical, stratosphere. But I do want to say this. I would argue that take it let's and let's just use this as kind of low-hanging fruit right now. We've got the teenager that's pregnant, she's unwed, she is deciding to keep the baby. I would be willing to say that if a man or men pushed for the church to get it to do a baby shower, I have a hard time seeing that not happening. Does that make sense? I have a hard time seeing that the church would not in some way make an accommodation in, and reach out as, using this as a ministry opportunity, whatever you want to call it, however you want to view that. I do see personally, and if there's listeners, if there's anybody out there that doesn't like the idea of, and I got to be really careful here, that like women are less. This is not where I'm headed, because I completely and unbelievably disagree with that idea. But I definitely think that there are leadership characteristics that men just naturally have.
Well, we're
And
called to lead. We are. We're called to lead
we're called to lead. And
biblically as
I'm
men.
yeah, I'm not trying to push an agenda when I say that. But I think that if specifically in my own experience in church situations, if a woman comes forward and says, there is this particular teen, pregnant teen, and I want to do a baby shower for her, it's not going to hit as hard to the church as if there's a guy up there saying, this needs to happen.
And I think we should both. And I
No,
think you would
you're
agree with that.
exactly.
We
Yeah, thank
should
you, and
both
thank
be
you for
doing
that,
that.
Brad. Thank you for that. Yes, I'm not trying to discredit that, and that's why I wanted to ask the question from the perspective
Course, most guys I
of.
know go like, we should do this, but can I please not come?
Right? Do
Because
I
I
have to
really
be
didn't.
there?
I don't really want to baby showers and wedding showers and all that. Like, can I? Like, I totally think we should do it.
I will help set up and tear
How
down,
many
but I'm going to go
diapers do
golfing
you need me to
while it
buy?
goes on.
How many diapers do I need to buy and wipes and
That's right.
put the card?
Yeah, I'm going to go golfing. Brad's going to go catfishing, and then we'll come back and we'll tear everything down. We're good.
Was it great? I hope it was great.
Right.
And I think that's okay on some level too. I mean, hey, there's guys out there probably like, no, I want to go. That's
Yeah.
great.
Okay.
Hey,
Yeah.
man, make
Yeah.
the cake. That's
That's
like,
dude. You would have made the cake years ago,
that's
and that
right.
would have been a banging cake, man.
Right, who made the cake,
Yeah.
but have preferred not to still be there at the. Don't prefer those things, but anyway, right. So, let me turn a curve too,
Okay.
though. typically, I don't want to say 100% because, but typically, the people that come expecting grace and mercy are the people that probably need justice. And the people that come expecting justice are the people that need grace and mercy.
Dude, that
And
right there, that right there is the tax collector banging on his chest saying, "Please
yeah.
forgive me, for I'm a sinner."
Right. And the Pharisee or whatever going, and
I'm
I'm
so
glad I'm
glad I'm
not
not like that guy.
glad
That's
like him.
exactly
Right.
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 Yes.
And I think again, I think about Nicodemus and then I think about the woman at the well so often. It's like John 3 and then John 4. Like boom, 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 boom. And there's God, Jesus shares the gospel with both of them, but it's different. Because Nicodemus, like he brings him down. You're a ruler of, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things. You need to be born again. And then the woman at the well, who is debased and all of this stuff, who is ashamed, he's drawing her up and bringing her out. And I think it's beautiful, this picture that they're at a well. And that's what he does. He draws her up out of the darkness. And so, but I think that's that picture. Because one of the things like that will make me upset, and sometimes I'll still have to go to, I have to go to God with my attitude, is when people want to tell me that I have to give them grace and mercy. I don't think that's what you need right now. Like you have to do. I can show you where Paul says that and this that you don't meet this criteria. And so no. And I had somebody send me a very nasty text message,
My bad, dude.
correcting me and all this and
I'll clean up the language next time.
yeah. Well, and sometimes and sometimes what I have to do with those text messages is not reply.
Yeah, no, it's exactly right.
Sometimes.
Because I mean, like you understand clearly that that wick is attached to a stick of dynamite.
Yeah,
Why blow it,
absolutely.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, don't light it because
Right.
that's
God has given
exactly,
us wisdom.
yes.
And again, I try to pray in those situations because there's sometimes when you do need to respond, and there's sometimes when, right, you don't.
Right.
It's a trap. It's a trap.
It's a trap. I watched that the other night, by the way.
Yeah, that is
All
no
right.
moon.
So, Brad, let's go ahead and wrap this up because my computer battery just let me know that it's about to die.
Yeah.
But we're right about time anyways. So listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Thank you for listening in to me and Brad talking as best we could, clearly off the cuff, but as best we could about mercy or grace and justice. I know that this is a very hot topic. It's almost like a gaslight topic, but it needs to be said. It needs to be had. And again, in the very near future, be looking for a multi-series show or multi-show series where we talk about grace, maybe
It's pretty amazing.
grace and men. I mean, seriously,
It's pretty amazing.
it's gonna be pretty amazing.
Grace
It's
is.
good, yeah. amazing grace, right?
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
there.
amazing grace.
I'm there. I got it. Yeah, it took me a second. But we are definitely going to be doing some multi-part series, because ChatGPT said that we should. Yeah. But Brad, dude, it has been a breath of fresh air to do this again with you, man.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
few, listeners, couple things real quick. Number one, also be on the lookout in the future. Brad and I had such a fun time speaking with John Kirkendall that we are going to open up the line in the future to bringing in more guests. And also remember, right now a live and active submission still going on for funny or crazy church stories. Please let us know. Send us an email, menchurchstuff@gmail.com. Send us your funny church story, crazy church story, even if it's not yours, but you love telling it or you love hearing it. Let us know. We're gonna do an episode strictly on funny church stories. Last thing is that there is very soon going to be a website that's going to go live. Still working on it, but Brad Scherer has actually said that it looks really good. So that makes me feel good.
Well, DJ, he said, I'm still waiting on Brad to send me all of the stuff that is correct. I asked Brad to send me.
That is correct.
Yeah. So
I'm going to guess, Brad, within the next 2 to 3 weeks, there will be a website that'll go live. Listeners, you know what to do. Follow us on our Facebook group page, on our Instagram. Engage with us. Please connect with us. Talk to us on our Facebook group page or on Instagram. Send us an email again. You can rate and review our shows. Subscribe to the show so that you see every time that one drops. But get involved and share the show with people that you know and people that you love. But beyond that, Brad, I love you, man.
I love you too.
Listeners, we love you, and we will catch you next time.
Yeah, go be his church.